Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But
why do you want the Celtics to give you the most? Because you think they have the most to give?
Correct.
Well, what if, all right, there's all the talk about Popovich sent Kawhi to Toronto, you know, knowing he wouldn't really want to be there. Do you think that was I think Popovich said, we'll trade you where we want to trade you.
Yeah,
and that's what they did.
I just think, to me, it was more Popovich wanted to get rid of Danny Green, and they were willing to take on Danny Green. And I also think it was the Spurs said they were comfortable taking back, you know, a player of similar talent, let's say, to try and, like, the Spurs were comfortable saying they would be a 47-48 win team this year with DeRozan.
Right.
You know, I mean, like the Spurs weren't going full rebuild when they take DeRozan back. The Spurs weren't going, but the Spurs also weren't going, hey, we're going to win a championship either, because
right.
they're not good enough to do that. So I think, to me, it feels like there was a combination of factors there.
Well,
I mean, to me, you could have sent him to, you know, Brooklyn or something. You could have sent him to Charlotte if you wanted to do that. You know, send him somewhere he doesn't want to be, and
why
stink.
Why wouldn't you? If you're the Pelicans,
Toronto doesn't stink.
Let me ask you this: if you're a team like the Orlando Magic, would you trade for Anthony Davis?
No,
year and a half.
No,
you got him for a year and a half.
No.
Okay, what? So
well, I remember.
If you're Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, or New York, well, forget New York because they would. But
yeah, New York's different.
Okay, so Mike, what I'm asking you, JD, is. You know, Phoenix, Memphis, Cleveland, Chicago, Atlanta, Orlando, even Washington.
No.
Would you trade for Anthony Davis if you were any of those teams?
No. Yeah, because you're not going to have a shot. You stink too much to have a shot to keep him.
Really?
You can't. And I don't think a year and a half is long enough to get him to basically fall in love with you.
But isn't that what Toronto's trying to do with Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, but Toronto already had a really good team in place.
That's true.
And
that's
it's
true.
1 year. And it is 1 year.
Yeah.
The example I always go back to is the Chris Webber example. And gosh, it's been 20 years now. But when the Kings traded Mitch Richmond to the Wizards for Chris Webber, Webber, I believe, had 3 years left on his deal at that point. So Webber had 3 years left on his deal. And basically, the Kings became a championship caliber team over those 3 years, which convinced him to sign a long-term contract. So it was 3 years, and it was a complete overhaul of their team. And if you remember, I know some of our listeners not young enough, you know, or not old enough to maybe remember, but Weber initially said, "I'm not going."
Soul food, right?
He said he wasn't even going to go to Sacramento. He wasn't going to report to Sacramento from Washington originally. The soul food thing was when he was going to sign,
going
to re-sign or not.
Okay.
That was a big deal. But yeah, Sacramento wasn't diverse enough or what, you know, whatever.
Right.
But no, going back to the original trade, he said he wasn't going to report. He had 3 years left in his contract. And, you know, the story goes, you know, his dad got to him this was during the lockout in 99.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the season was about to start actually right about this time, right around February. I think February 5th was the first game. So you look at it, and Weber wasn't going to report to the Kings, and they had just signed Vlade Divac. They had just drafted Jason Williams. Peja Stojakovic was coming over from Europe, and Rick Adelman was his first year as the coach, and they'd made all these moves. They'd signed all these veterans, John Barry and Vernon Maxwell, all these brand veterans, but Weber's like, I'm not coming. That was with 3 years left on his deal. Think about that. But eventually, like, his dad convinced him to come, and then all of a sudden they were this fun up-and-coming team the first year,
right,
which hooked them, but they had two more years on top of that to build themselves into a championship level contender, and then they ultimately were able to convince him to stay by having that and being able to offer him the most money, which they did. Point being, 3 years I think is enough time to do that. I don't think a year and a half is. And I'll go back to the Sacramento example. If the Kings had only had a year and a half, he wouldn't have stayed.
Oh, really?
No, because they weren't a championship team yet at the end of a year and a half.
Right. Yeah. It's
basically would have been the lockout year, and the next year after that would be a year and a half. They were an 8 seed that year.
Lost. And then what about the next year?
The next year they were a 3 seed.
Okay.
They still had Jason Williams, but then they flipped Jason Williams for Mike Bibby, and then they became a championship contender.
I got you. 415 says, watch the Knicks get no big-name free agents and don't get the number one pick. Well, they cleared room the LeBron James summer, remember?
Yeah.
And you know who they ended up with?
Go ahead.
I think this is right. Stoudemire, Amari Stoudemire, and Joakim Noah.
Was it that late? No, I think Noah was still with the Bulls then.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that was later.
But I think Amari Stoudemire.
Amari Stoudemire, yeah.
Somebody else, though, too. I guess I could figure it out. I guess I could do it. And then the caller was, or the text person wants to know how you guys feeling about the Mavericks next season.
I like them.
Yeah.
I like him. I actually think the big problem with the Mavericks is it's Doncic, and the rest of it is not good. And even Harrison Barnes. God, Harrison Barnes.
Well, he's almost up anyway.
Can't make a shot at the end of a game.
No, he can't. Well, I mean, he made one against Philly when he was a Warrior from the corner. Remember that game?
Yeah. No, I do remember that game. But I don't like Dallas's pieces at all after Doncic. So now they have another one with Porzingis.
But you know
but
what?
But is it going to take you a year and a half to even know what you have in Porzingis? That's a fair question.
Well, and I mean, but in fairness to Dallas, I don't like the players they shipped either. You know what I mean?
Right.
So even if that, you could have dropped Porzingis on
Wes
the Mavericks.
Yeah, Wes Matthews done, DeAndre done. Dennis Smith Jr., you're not high on.
No. Question is, what are the Knicks going to do with those guys? I mean, they'll keep Dennis Smith Jr., no doubt. But the other two
could help some teams.
I think so, too.
And I'll tell you one team that Wes Matthews could help. It's the Golden State Warriors.
No doubt.
It's Golden State Warriors. When I say, hey, they should add a wing in the buyout market, Wes Matthews would be at the top of that list. He would be at the absolute top of that list.
Yeah.
Especially if you're playing him limited minutes. He would be a guy where if, you know, Klay Thompson's out for a night or two.
Oh, man.
Or let's say Iguodala needs a 7 to 10 days to just, you know, clear his head, go play some golf, reinvigorate before a playoff run. And you're saying, well, you know, Wes Matthews is going to play in his place. Look out.
That's pretty good.
If you haven't already given the Warriors the championship this year. Good night.
Yeah.
Good night.
How about Doncic going from like the leading all-star vote getter to not even making the team? Think he should have been an all-star?
Yeah, I do.
Over who?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it that closely.
Okay. Well, let me.
How about Rudy Gobert not making it and then tearing up? How about that back and forth? And you got Draymond trolling him.
Come on, Draymond.
And Iguodala.
What did Iguodala do? I know Draymond said,
Iguodala
cry
was
too.
More of a tip-in. It was more of a follow-up. Draymond was the
why
one.
Why did he do that, Draymond? I mean, I get
he's
it.
He's having fun.
That's a little.
Mean-spirited?
Yes.
Mean-spirited?
Yes, I believe so. Especially because it was unclear. It wasn't like he was crying over not making the All-Star team.
And, you know, there is something to be said for being legitimately emotional.
Well, he was talking about his mom and stuff. And so then it became kind of a convoluted thing. It wasn't just about one thing or the other. I'll tell you what, Gobert handled it great.
Well, I think Gobert came back you were crying in the car for Durant, wanting him to come after the finals.
Yeah, that's a good line.
And then, yeah, there was also a Snapchat line.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He said,
as long as he didn't put anything on Snapchat, which.
Good for Gobert.
You may or may not remember.
You know, it's funny.
You may or may not remember that story.
I remember.
Some things you can't.
I'm starting to like Gobert more now, believe it or not. Not just because of that. I was kind of getting a little higher and higher on him. But now that's a good reaction. He didn't let it. Yeah, good reaction from Gobert. Played it well. Played his hand well after he. He broke down.
888-957-9570. Nick and Joe and you on the phone lines as we open it up. We're also going to be joined by Tim Roy at 1230 Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, final segment. This is where we jam about 2 hours of content into about 36 minutes.
Yeah, we just started out with favorite. What's your favorite Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah, and for me, it's a Big Lebowski.
Is it?
It is. Cult classic, but
I think for me, it would be Miller's Crossing.
All right.
But I forgot they'd made Blood Simple. That's a great movie.
A lot of good ones there.
Yeah. Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
888-957-9570. That's where Joe in Mill Valley checks in here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. JD is funny. Great show, as always. It's funny. I love your truth. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
A question for you. Well, actually, this is more of a statement. The Warriors are a different team. You know, you guys talk about basketball players always having a high IQ, and the Warriors are different. They've got a high IQ individually and a high IQ basketball player. Like, you've got your Jason Kidd, your Ben Simmons, to me, are just high IQ basketball players. Then you got your Donald Foyle and your Damian Jones, who are IQ individuals. The Warriors have Steph, Clay, Draymond, Kerr, high IQ people, high IQ basketball players. Very, very different. Very unusual.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is. I don't know. I don't know if I want to.
Thanks, Joe. What? No, go ahead.
I'm not sure high IQ is a, let's just talk high IQ basketball IQ.
Uh-huh.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best. What's Clay?
7, 6?
Yeah, I'd say 5.
Okay.
Me. What's Curry?
8?
I'd say 6 or 7.
Okay.
Durant?
8, 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
Yeah, 7.
Draymond?
9.
I'd give him an 8 or 9, yeah. Because you know why? You got to dox and pay for his stupid technicals.
Nine
That's not
ten.
Smart.
I mean, Draymond might be the closest to a 10.
I'll tell you who. It might be Cousins. Cousins has a great basketball IQ. They're all above average. I think we can safely say that. But listen, if you want to talk basketball IQ and you want to start really nitpicking, is Clay really a smart player?
I think he's smarter than he gets credit for.
I do too. But my point is, you know, he's going to take the same shot down one with 10 seconds to go as he is up 22 with 5 minutes to go. I mean, he makes no distinction, no distinction basically with score and situation. He plays the same way all the time. It's some of that is really good. Others isn't. Other parts aren't great. Curry's obviously an incredibly smart player, but we've seen over the course of his career, he's made some costly turnovers. The behind the back pass. I don't want to dwell on that. What was he thinking there? He's had games like that.
He has some head scratchers.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying.
And they tend to come in bunches, too.
They came the other night.
Yeah.
Now he still had 41.
He made 10 3-pointers.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I'll tell you what. More remarkable, Curry making 10 3-pointers or everybody other than Curry going 1 for 20.
Well, no Clay. Curry making 10.
What do you think of, again, the thing that I always come back to with you take one guy away and it just always gets off. Like more than... I don't know. More, it feels like it's more than it should.
Well, maybe just because when they have everybody healthy, they're so good. I've always said, forget Cousins, let's put him off to the side. You know, the last 2 or 3 years, if you take any one of those big four off the team,
well,
I don't think they're a championship team.
And
I don't think they win a title.
The game Thursday night is the prime example of that.
Right. I know.
Like, file that away for later. I mean, if they had to play a final series, let's say, without Klay Thompson.
And they've...
I'd be a lot more nervous if I'm a Warriors fan, just given the way that game went. And we'll see maybe what happens tonight, although Klay officially a game-time decision tonight. questionable, was not at practice yesterday.
I thought it was a headache. I mean, it's got to be a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar migraine then.
Well, it's, yeah, migraine.
Well, those stink. Those absolutely stink. No doubt about that.
And JaVale McGee's getting his ring tonight.
That's
we should
good.
Let everybody know that as well. The 5:30 tip-off. We'll have it for you here on 95.7 The Game. Steiny and Guru, Warriors Live, 4 o'clock from Oracle. And then Tim Roy and Jim Barnett at 5 with the Warriors official pregame show. And then right before tip-off, JaVale McGee's going to be presented with his 2017-2018 championship ring. So make sure you're in your seat and able to give JaVale the proper ovation as a Warriors fan may want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, looking back on his little run with the Warriors.
Solid.
Very solid. Kind of.
Helped him win, too.
And he reestablished himself. And he's probably having the best year of his career now, or was, before he got banged up a little bit.
Let's go to Nick in Oakland on the phones here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Nick.
Hello, fellas.
What's up?
Hey, what kind of bugs me is every time a free agent comes up or a trade or somebody wants what's going to do next year, it's always the Knicks. The Knicks. Why the Knicks? They're a terrible team. They got the worst record in all of basketball. They've been relevant for 20 years. And you can say, well, they want to go there and help change, turn it around. Well, how can you turn around? You got that kind of ownership and mismanagement. I'm getting tired of hearing the Knicks, the Knicks, the Knicks.
Well, you know what?
I'm with you.
First of all,
I'm with you.
First
Nick.
Of all, you're right. I mean, it is kind of a snicker joke inside the NBA among the media, kind of the ownership. Like, there's no doubt. The Knicks, they have illusions of grandeur. Delusions, I guess, is the right word. You're right. But because they're the Knicks, they think they're in on everything. And they're really not.
Well, and it's reported that they're in on everything.
So, yeah, I'm with you there, Nick. I'm with you there. Absolutely. Who else is like the Lakers are kind of like that, too.
Yeah, but the Lakers have done something.
I mean, at what point do we say, well, the Warriors are kind of like that?
I think we're there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think Kevin Durant put them there.
I think...
Going back to even before, like getting meetings with guys like Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, I thought, was a big, you know.
Just having him legitimately at the point in his career then consider them.
Yeah, because I thought.
As a game
changer.
Like
I rolled my eyes. I didn't necessarily think. Still didn't think he was very good back then, but he was a big name. And the fact that the Warriors got the meeting.
That'd be akin to, like, let's say, Kevin Durant meeting with the Hawks.
Oh, he's going to meet with the Hawks.
Sources say?
He's going to meet with a Hawk.
Are you reporting that?
No. But it's a prediction. He's going to.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying what would be the 2019 version of, let's say, Dwight Howard making a.
It would probably be a team better than the Hawks.
Are you fantasizing about Durant with Red Velvet
and Trae Young
and John Collins?
Yes, I am.
And Alex Len.
Hey, he's having a hell of a year. They only signed him to 1 year, though.
Ah!
Yeah, he's only got one
Alex
deal.
Alex Len.
They got plenty of draft
Alex
picks again,
Len
too.
Might be the Corey Brewer of centers.
No. Look at his numbers this year. He's helping him. He really is helping him.
Paul and Alameda, save us from talking about the Hawks for another bloody second on this show. What's
okay.
up, Paul?
You're a first-time caller. Right. I'm kind of surprised in all the discussion about the post-mortem for the 76ers game. There's two things that haven't been mentioned, even by Jim Barnett, yesterday. And that is, number one, the fact that they're returning from a five-day road trip. I know they got 2 days rest. But, you know, Jim and other people say all the time that that's a real tough game, the first home game after a road trip for one this long. And the second factor that no one's talking about is Jarepko. Jarepko is not a... You know, he's not one of the big five or sixer, but we needed another big to foul 76ers big. We didn't have him. And I think the combination, obviously not having Clay there was a big factor, but these other two items, I think, they didn't lose by that much. It wouldn't have taken much.
All right. No,
Jarepko was technically available.
Was that so? He got a DNP.
He was a DNP coach's decision. It wasn't family or anything like that.
Yeah, Rick Adelman was the first guy who told me that. That your first game back from a road trip is still like a road game.
Okay,
that was Rick. I don't know. I'm not saying he invented it, but that's the first time I remember hearing it when he was coaching the Warriors.
How many coaches? I think we've done this, but how many coaches have we both covered?
Oh my God! Well,
Rick Adelman, Eric Musselman.
Does Steve Kerr count?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Steve
okay.
Kerr.
Well then. Martins. Oh my God. Okay. Nelly, Mike Montgomery, Dave Cowens, Brian Winters, Eric Musselman.
Musselman.
Ed Gregory was in there for a little bit. Yeah. Don Nelson.
You got a lot more than me, but I'm just saying there's been a few overlap. Where you had like mid 90s Rick Adelman, and I had like mid 2000s.
Right.
Just starting out.
I liked Rick Adelman a lot, actually. You get along with Rick?
I love Rick Adelman.
Yeah.
We've had that conversation.
Yeah.
I used to tick him off because anytime you'd ask him about shot selection, I know I've said this on the show before. You think of shot selection, huh? And he'd kind of scowl and kind of whine.
Well,
they're good shots if they're going in. A lot of time they're going in. So, you gotta live with it. I like the shot. You know, Weber's casting off from 18.
I hated that Weber 18-footer, that line
just
drive.
Just such a anyway.
Hall of Famer? Chris Weber?
Yes. Yep. I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I'll have to go back and look at some tape.
No, I think, come on. Look at some tape. He's terrific in college, too. Do we have Tim Roy? We do have Tim Roy. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, joins us here on 95.7 The Game as he will be joined by Jim Barnett tonight on the call of the Warriors and the Lakers. 5:30 tip right here tonight, 95.7 The Game. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're talking about
Rick Adelman.
Rick
Adelman. Yeah, good, very good offensive coach.
Yeah.
Good man, too. Good man.
Good guy. Good guy. I mean, there's a backstory about him that people don't know. His sister died in a car crash. And so he and his wife immediately just took, their kids.
Who were young.
Them. Yeah, they were young and raised them. I mean, just didn't hesitate. That was, bang, just right away.
Yeah, and I remember talking about that a little bit because his kids were not fully grown, but they were getting ready to be empty nesters, if you know what I mean. And then all of a sudden they had young kids. Well, and of course his son passed a year or two ago, got hit by a car.
Crossing a street in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wow. Anyway, the reason he came up is because a caller just said, that first game back from a road trip at home is kind of like a road game. And I just remembered the first time I'd ever heard that was from Rick Adelman.
Although it didn't seem like it in the first half. Did it, Tim?
No, I think the Warriors had the control of the game, and I think they kind of took their foot off the gas. I think they didn't take care of the ball. It's the most, 15 is the most, ties the most turnovers they've had in the last 20 games. So, I thought they had opportunities. The first game back is always a tricky one. There's no question about that. After a long trip, I mean, we're not talking a one-gamer or a two-gamer. You're talking about when you're on the road for a couple weeks because everything's different now. You've just gotten used to, getting up in the hotel and going to shoot around, coming back, and players will take their naps, and then they come home, and all of a sudden you've got all the responsibilities of home, family and friends and everything else, and so it's a little more of a hectic pace, and sometimes it shows in that first game back.
You know what, Tim? I want to follow up on that because I'm not making excuses for the Warriors, and I get it, five-star hotels and this and that, but especially when you figure where the Warriors are in this run. This is their fifth year, okay? They just were on the road for 10 days, where when you're on the road, it's all basketball. You wake up, team breakfast, practice, shoot around, lunch, take your nap, game, playing together. And then all of a sudden, you get home and it's, hey, you want to pick up the kids today at school? And
exactly,
do you want to go run by the store and pick up stuff? Or how about we do this? I'm not saying it's digging ditches, but your focus, your mental focus, I think, lets up a little.
Absolutely, and I think the other part, which always amuses me, is people they count road trips starting the first game. I always count if you're traveling the day before, that's part of the road trip to me. You're on the road, and so this last one that was an interesting one. You had all that time down in Los Angeles and then go back east for three, It was a, you know, it's a long time to be away, and some of these players on the Warriors have young kids. So when, as you say, when they get back, you know, as we all know, if you've traveled at all with a family of young kids, when you get back, the person at home is expecting some help.
Yes, exactly.
That person at home is ready to make the handoff and go sit in the corner for a while. So you got to be ready for that.
Yeah, and to your point, Tim, I mean, that's a trip where just based on the calendar, you leave on the 17th. And you come back basically on the 29th. By the time you get back, it's late night, you know, early morning on the 29th. So that first day where you're back is 12 days after you leave. That's
yeah,
12
absolutely.
Freaking days.
Absolutely.
Tim, what did you think of DeMarcus Cousins the other night? I think everyone would agree that he's looked better than expected. However, you know, night in, night out, it's going to be a different challenge. And Embiid was tough on everybody. And he is tough on everybody, but what did you think of Cousins and the way that he played at Oracle on Thursday night in his home debut?
You know, I think it was probably one of the worst matchups for him to face, because Embiid's, you know, bigger than he is actually, and is skilled, is a handful. He's a tough matchup, and so, you know, he's still not, you know, all the way there. Draymond Green
right.
told me this week on Beyond the Arc that he's only about 40% basketball wise. And so I think I'd like to see that matchup again when they go to Philadelphia and DeMarcus has a few weeks under his belt and you know, gets back into his groove, if you will. So I think, you know, I kind of looked at that and said, okay, this is going to be a real tough one for him tonight because it's a guy that's really skilled and a little bit bigger than he is, and this is going to be hard. I thought his passing was really good, though, and it's one of the things I've been looking for is to watch him, you know, be able to make passes. So I thought that was really, really good. But, again, I just think, and, you know, and he did force Embiid into a whole bunch of turnovers in that game. And so on the whole, not bad, but I just thought it was a real tough game for him because that guy is so good.
Klay Thompson obviously sat out that game. He was sick. I guess he's going to be a game-time decision tonight. How did you think the Warriors looked differently without him?
I thought that was a key thing to the whole game. I thought because here's what happened. I think you could put Klay Thompson on Ben Simmons, right? Start
mm-hmm.
the game, okay? That allows Draymond to be Draymond. Okay, and now you got to put Draymond on Ben Simmons, and that, I think, took away from what Draymond likes to do, help and direct people around, you know, defensively, because now he's guarding the guy, you know, with the ball all the time. And so I thought that really switched up the matchups for the Warriors and put them in a real difficult spot because, you know, one of the strengths of their defense, if not the strength of their defense, is the ability of Draymond Green to communicate, play with fire, and to use his, you know, incredible basketball IQ to disrupt the other team's offense.
So do you think, and I think one of the things that makes Draymond incredible is, you know, a lot of great defenders are either a great on-ball defender or a really good help defender. I think he's both. Mm-hmm. Do you think if the Warriors had their way, would they not put Draymond on the best offensive player on the other team? In other words, do you think he's a better help defender than on the ball defender?
Wow, that's boy. I think he's excellent at both.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, and I think that's why he's one of the great, you know, defensive players not only in this era but I think of all time because he's good at both. You know,
I wonder how you like where what maybe one game it's more important if he guards a certain guy, and
absolutely.
Another game it's more important if he doesn't, almost.
Absolutely. There are games where I think his help defense is huge, and sometimes, you know, sometimes he gambles and overhelps a little bit, you know, but I think you take that because when he does help, he helps correctly and he makes plays and you know, then on certain nights, you're right, certain nights you got to put him on this guy, and he's going to, you know, keep that guy from being, you know, having an easy night. He's going to make that guy at least take contested shots, and that's a huge difference. And again, I just love watching him work on the defense. And I think he's more effective when he's sort of on the back line, because then he can see the play. He can communicate to the other guys what's going on. And I thought the other night he was out on the perimeter, you know, guarding Ben Simmons at times where he, you know, couldn't see what was unfolding behind him.
Tim Roy, our guest here on 95.7 The Game, Warriors this week. Tim, of course, the voice of the Warriors. You will hear him tonight on the call, Warriors and Lakers out at Oracle Arena. That's a 5:30 tip. You know, we were talking earlier, Tim, and we were coming back from a break. I said to Stein, I said, boy, tonight, it's exciting. The Lakers are in town. You know, it's national game and all that. One of the biggest games on the schedule. And Stein, he kind of said, it doesn't feel like it's as big a game to me. What do you think of tonight? I mean, does tonight feel like a huge game, you know, as you lead up to it now, less than 5 hours away?
I think it's a big game in this sense where I think the Warriors want to bounce back with a win. So I think they want to play well and get a win. I think it's a huge game for the Lakers because if they're going to go to the playoffs, then I think they have to go on some sort of a 20 and 10, you know, type of pace over the last 30 games. And so to do that, they're going to have to sneak in some wins against good teams. They've got a road trip coming up where they go to, I think, Indiana, and then they go to Boston and Milwaukee, and then finish with Atlanta. Now, Indiana's not the Pacer team that, you know, is 32-19, not without Oladipo.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're just not the same team. They're in a little bit of a tailspin right now. So I think they can go 2-2 with those four games, but they still have two games with Milwaukee left, game with Toronto left, game at Toronto, at Oklahoma City. So they've got, you know, a pretty decently tough schedule the rest of the way, as everybody does in the West. But to catch the Clippers and or maybe the Jazz, they have to really go on a big run. So I think they need to look at this game as sort of like maybe a springboard for them to start that run.
Tim, the Warriors have a 14 on their roster. They like to keep that 15th spot open. It's a question we've asked a lot, but as time goes, it becomes more and more, I guess, timely. Do the Warriors need anything? And if you think they would need, in theory, a big man or a wing player?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think they could survive without another big man if Cousins stays healthy. And if they don't get an injury to another big man, but I wouldn't mind seeing them get some punch off the bench. You know, if a good scorer or shooter is made available, I think that might be the route you go. I think it's going to depend on who gets bought out is maybe, you know, what the Warriors will do and who's available to them. I think will dictate, just exactly, you know, the type of player they go after. And remember, it also gets changed. Remember Jose Calderon. He was a Warrior for four hours, and they had to do that and say, sorry, we got to let you go. Kevin Durant just went down. So there's always that possibility, too, that they could have an injury or if a guy might be out for a few weeks, and they got to say, okay, now we need to fill that hole. So I think circumstance and who's available will dictate. I think the two areas you mentioned are two areas I think they would love to strengthen if they could.
Tim, final thought here, something we're going to see before the game tonight that we thought we were going to see before the game on Christmas night. JaVale McGee, healthy, ready to roll, and accept his championship ring from last season. That should be a pretty cool moment prior to the tip-off tonight of this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great moment. I think it's going to be nice for JaVale. And I think the marriage of JaVale and the Warriors, I think, has rewritten how we view JaVale McGee as a player. I think before that he was kind of a nomad, and you know, certain people looked at him as a punchline on Shaq the Fool. But I think he showed with the Warriors he's got game and he can play. And I think that got overlooked in his career, that he was actually a good player. And I thought Steve Kerr used him as well as anybody could have used him. He was important to their playoff run a year ago, starting certain games, certain matchups, I was really, really happy for him because I think it's going to rewrite how we view him and the rest of his career. But I'm going to leave you with this. Did it strike you guys at all as kind of weird that Anthony Davis's dad came out and
said
he doesn't want to go to Boston? Because look at the loyalty they showed him. Loyalty was probably the wrong word to use there, I think. You know, if you look at that whole situation, you know, loyalty? Really? You're going to bring up loyalty?
That was an earlier rant by yours truly on this show. How could you possibly talk about loyalty when you just quit on your team?
What do you guys think? What do you do if you're the Pelicans?
We'd actually both, well, I mean, if you get a great offer, you can make a move. But to me, you have to allow the Celtics to be in play just to up the ante. So I would sit him the rest of the year and pay him and tell him we're going to deal with it in the offseason and then let the offers funnel in at that point. Stein, you know, what do you got?
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too.
I think so, too. Send him home and say, hey, you know, we'll, maybe we'll see you next year. Who knows?
You know what, Tim? And people say, oh, that's, you know, he's going to get millions of dollars for doing nothing. That's going to hurt Anthony Davis.
Well, you know, it's going to hurt him, but again, like, I kind of look at it, too, from the team side. He scuttled their season.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, it's going to hurt Davis not to play.
Oh yeah, it's going to hurt him. Yeah. But on the other hand, he scuttled their season.
Yeah,
you know, if you're a season ticket seller in the Pelicans office, how do you go do your job now? You know, true. I mean, that's a real tough equation that's been put into motion by his agent.
Yeah, well, makes it more difficult if he's going to be around now. Like that's the other thing. It's like, oh, so now he wants out. And then you don't trade him, let's say, by next Thursday at the deadline. Then he's supposed to come back and play, and then it's just there's going to be this elephant in the room for the next 2 months. I mean, forget it. Like, I mean, to me, just avoid all that. Let everybody else move on.
Yeah, the Warriors went through it with Steven Jackson, but not of a player of that magnitude.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a tough equation all the way around.
Thanks, Tim. We'll see you in a couple hours.
See ya.
All right, Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, again right here, 95.7 The Game, Warriors and Lakers. It's a 5:30 tip. He'll be joined, of course, by Jim Barnett because of the national television tonight with the game on ABC. Tim mentioned Shaq and a fool.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about JaVale McGee and his reputation. Did you see that Stephen Curry, I'm actually going back a week, Shaq refused to put Stephen Curry in Shaq and a fool because he said that Steph's his favorite player. Now, they still played the highlight of the miss. It was the game against the Lakers, right, where he goes up to dunk it.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was, you know, the classic. He goes up to dunk it. He falls, winds up getting the ball back, takes a Corey Brewer corner three, airballs it terribly, and off we go. But, yeah, how about that? Shaq didn't put him in Shaq than a fool.
Yeah, I believe that. You know, it's funny. Tim Roy saying, how'd you like to be a season ticket holder or – somebody who's got to sell season tickets in the Pelicans. The thing I keep coming back to is I keep thinking of Drew Holiday. I mean, Drew Holiday.
90% of the reason I stayed.
He's got to be hot right now.
That's what Drew Holiday said. He said Anthony Davis was 90% of the reason he stayed.
Yeah, that's.
The other 10% was the 100 and whatever million they gave him. But
from the 510, Matt, great take on Kevin Durant to the Hawks. I hear Red Velvet is starting to recruit Kawhi Leonard to prepare for when Alex Len is gone. JD will come around eventually.
Steiny's getting excited. Trey Young, Red Velvet, Kevin Herter, right? Is Kevin Herter?
Yes, Kevin. Maryland, good player.
And then
he's a redhead.
And then Durant, and then John Collins, and then
John Collins,
pick your center.
He ain't bad. Come on now. And Trey Young's going to be good.
He's already pretty good. They've got some rotation players.
They do. And you know what?
I don't know that they have any stars, but they have some rotation players.
I think Trey Young's going to be a star.
Maybe. Could. Wouldn't rule it out.
The big issue the Hawks are going to have.
Here's my issue with Trey Young, and we'll spend 30 seconds on this, is he's not a good enough three-point shooter for as many threes as he takes. And
correct.
He takes some bad threes. Like, what are you doing, kid?
Well, they're encouraging to take those shots.
Okay. Because he takes some Curry shots,
He's not a good shooter.
He's not a good shooter.
That's the one thing. I mean, it's so unfair to compare him to Curry. Because Curry's one-of-a-kind shooting ability sets up his entire game. The fact that Steph Curry can make shots from 28 feet, that makes him, that's what he builds his whole game off of. Well, Trey Young can't make a 25-footer. He can't, not right now.
Right.
So.
But that's also.
But he can get to anywhere on the floor he wants, and he's really clever with the ball. And he sees the court tremendously.
All right.
The way I would say it is, Trey Young, okay, this is Trey Young's rookie year. Trey Young passes like Steph Curry came into the league as a shooter.
Okay.
And as far as passing goes, Curry's passing was like Trey Young. Well, it was better than Trey Young as a shooter. But you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's all.
I get what
I'm basically saying that Trey Young is as good of a passer as Curry is a shooter. But he's not a good shooter right now, Trae Young.
He's definitely not a good shooter.
No, he's not.
Trae Young is not a good shooter.
I don't even know if he's up to 30% yet.
One guy who is a great shooter is Klay Thompson, and he remains a game-time decision for the Warriors tonight.
All right.
So we'll see if the Warriors are full squad tonight.
Hey,
with Cousins in the mix.
Hey, it's not outside the you brought this up earlier. It's not outside the realm of possibility. The Lakers could announce a trade today, and next thing you know,
the game's got no juice.
None.
No juice.
Because four Lakers can't dress because they're on their way to taking physicals in New Orleans.
Yeah, and Rob Pelinka's meeting outside the locker room. And
you always know it's a big day when the GM meets the media while the game's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, you do.
Trae Young, yeah, he's shooting 30.2% from three. You know, he was up around, he was at like 26%. So,
like a Klay Thompson-ish leap.
He's averaging 16 and a half a game.
Right,
that ain't bad.
All right. I'm out.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm out.
Well, the show's almost over anyway.
Somebody on the text line had said, hey, what do you think of Chris Mullin at St. John's? Somebody literally said that they had a rough one today. They got blown out by Duke.
I think they're going to make the tourney, though, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I couldn't tell you what their record is.
415, you're not watching Hawks games.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Good point on Holiday.
Yes, I am. What does the 415 mean? Why didn't that make count? Or why didn't that make the count? What was he talking? I don't know what he's
Shaq
talking
about. Shaq been a fool?
Oh, you guys were wrong about the all-star count on the Warriors. I'm not sure what he means. I'm never afraid to acknowledge if I'm wrong.
Okay. The Warriors have three all-stars this year.
I think Draymond was a little frustrated last game because he didn't make the all-star team.
Really?
Yep. I do. How about that? That thing got lost the other night, Draymond.
What's that?
What a ridiculously untimely technical foul. That game was not over when he got that technical foul.
A little momentum breaker.
It's just not the time you get it. You need every point you can get at that point. You can't give up anything. So, 415, I was so stoked when the Warriors drafted Curry, but never thought he'd be this. I was thinking more two guard like Klay. Yeah, I don't know if I want to go back to all this.
Let's
again.
Not do that.
No, I thought he was a 1.5.
Yeah. Well,
he still kind of is, but it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? He's pretty good.
Final couple of minutes here. John Dickinson, Matt Stein, Mets Warriors this week. 95-7 the game. We do have Kolsky and Urban who are coming up at 1 o'clock. So that's less than 10 minutes away here.
You're going right to the arena.
Yeah, I'm going right to the arena today. We're going to change the routine up a little bit.
So you're going to get there early.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
There might be a stop in between.
Like
a brief one. Bite to eat. Maybe a little coffee.
Burrito?
Maybe coffee. I don't know about a burrito. Maybe something a little lighter.
I've had two burritos already.
A little sandwich.
Today.
I know you crushed these burritos. You want to let everybody in on that little secret? We got the
we have a cafeteria
there's
here.
Like a little kitchen area.
It's like
where
a help
you
yourself.
Food.
You pick something out of the freezer and then you pay for it. It's the honor policy. We've got these spicy Thai chicken burritos that are just... Now, they're not...
I haven't had one of these. Listen, are there any left? Or I don't want to take one.
Yeah, there's
because,
one more. Yeah, there's one or two left.
I don't want to take it because then you can't have it on Monday if I take it now.
I don't expect it to be here Monday. There's a whole crew coming in afterwards. And I know Nash, I don't know if he's here tonight or not.
He's not.
It might be there.
Nash is actually off till Monday.
Okay, because he kind of likes it.
Later in the day Monday.
All right, then maybe it'll be there. I'll take the chili relleno. If the spicy Thai's not there, and they're not lunker burritos. Like I didn't eat 2-foot-long burritos.
No.
They're like little pocket burritos.
Yeah,
about 480 calories.
Yeah, one probably. I would say one. Yeah, two is probably like 1.5 burritos. You know, big burritos. Like it's one. It's more than one. Like two of them is more than one
burrito. I don't think so. Well, I got to get it together. That's the other thing.
All right, where are we going to be next week? Final minute.
I'm going to be about 6 pounds lighter. That's the one thing. That's one where I'm
going to be.
Because
you're going to be out of those burritos in the kitchen. we got the Lakers tonight.
Yeah.
And then the Warriors don't play till Wednesday.
It's Spurs, right?
Spurs are at Oracle Wednesday. Then they play Phoenix on Friday. You and I have got the pre and the post.
We do?
Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't ask for that one
off. Yeah, and Guru did. So you're locked in, buddy.
And then coming back Saturday?
Yeah, but it's a 6 o'clock. It's an earlier start.
On Friday.
The Phoenix game's earlier start.
Yeah, that just moves get out of here at 10:30.
Yeah, 10. Right. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, 408 says the non-calls were momentum changers. What does Steph have to do to get a call?
I got the Warriors 3-0. What do you got this week? Lakers, yeah. Spurs. All right, 3-0. That's going to do it for Joe and for Gabe, Kolsky and Urban next. 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.